Hello, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is the teacher, and I'm your host, Ali. Well, in this program, The Teacher, we try to answer some of the major questions about Islamic teachings. Please stay with us. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today in this episode of The Teacher, we're going to be discussing something that some of you may have thought about at some stage. And that is prosperity and wretchedness of the mankind inherent? Or is it something that is acquired? So there are two schools of thoughts, naturally, on the topic. One of them, they say that the prosperity or the wretchedness of the humankind, the human beings, it is inherent, okay? And then the other one, of course, says that they're acquired. Let's take a look at a famous Islamic scholar called Fakhr-e Razi. He said, and I quote, "Allah has already ruled that on the Day of Judgment, a group shall be fortunate and blessed, while another group shall be wretched. Regarding whom Allah has passed this ruling and about, He knows whether they shall be fortunate or wretched. It is impossible for them to bring a charge with them. It is impossible for them to bring a change within themselves. This is because, should such a thing ever take place, it would mean that the word of Allah were lies, and His knowledge was in fact ignorance, and that is impossible, so it is totally baseless." Here, you see that Fakhr-e Razi, he, while doing interpretation of one of the verses of Quran, he alludes to this fact, as a matter of fact, pretty clearly, that there are two groups on the Day of Judgment in the light of the Holy Quran. One is the fortunate and the blessed one, and then the other one is the wretched one. And he, in his interpretation, he claims that he knows that, you know, since there are two groups, it is impossible for any of those two groups or the members of those two groups to bring a change within themselves. Okay, this is, he says, because Allah says that there are two groups, so it has to be two groups. Hence, everybody is already divided into two groups. Now, this is the popular knowledge of Allah objection, which is propounded in connection with the issue of jabr and ikhtiyar, which is compulsion and choice. Jabr means compulsion, ikhtiyar means choice. Ayatollah Makarim Shirazi, in his interpretation, refutes Fakhr-e Razi, and inshallah, after a short break, we're going to come back to you with what our school of thought says about this issue of the prosperity or wretchedness of mankind, whether it's inherent or is it acquired. Stay tuned.
Obstacles in Knowing Allah by Sheikh Khalil Jafar.
Significant obstacles to knowing Allah is one's self-will, having what I want versus what Allah wants. not surrendering to Allah. Islam comes from the word taslim. A Muslim is one who surrenders to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is one thing to say, I am a Muslim and I surrender to Allah. It is another thing that one's actions shows this surrender. That one realizes that one's existence is entirely dependent on Allah, and that Allah continues to sustain me and keep me alive every single moment of my life. Most of us, as we go through life, there is this sense of independence, where yes, we say that we trust Allah, that we depend on Allah, that Allah is our provider. But if we find out there is a recession, it shakes our sense of security, doesn't it? We start wondering now, do I have enough for a retirement? Our sense of security comes from other than Allah, when in fact it should come from Allah. Why does that happen? That happens because most human beings go through life believing they are independent of Allah, that Allah has created them and then left them alone. He has never left us alone even for the blinking of an eye. I acknowledge that I am the slave of Allah. Now, how do I know whether this is what Allah wants or not? The only way is to remove the I from the equation. That is the only way to know. And when that happens, then he is driven only by the will of Allah. And it is on this basis that you will then understand when Allah recites the Qasida of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. مَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. He does not speak out of his own desire. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ. Or when he praises his messenger and says, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. And you do not wish anything except what Allah wishes.
Every day is a lesson, and everything you do finds yourself. Now I know we all have good intentions and different ways we have to cope with stress.
Welcome back to The Teacher, and you're listening to IRIB English Radio. Before we went on to the break, we were discussing about the concept of being prosper or being wretched, whether it's an inherent quality or it is an acquired quality. So, before the break, we explained one school of thought where Fakhr-e Razi, who's the representative on that side, he says that since Allah has divided the humanity in two groups, on the Day of Judgment, there are going to be two groups. One is the fortunate ones, or the prosperous ones, and the other one is the wretched ones, okay? And since there are already two groups decided, hence nobody will be able to bring a change in themselves, okay, since it's already decided. Now, we said that on our side, Ayatollah al-Udhma Makarim Shirazi Hafatahullah, he has refuted the stance of Fakhr-e Razi, and he has done a discussion on that same topic where he says that on that day, that is the Day of Judgment, a group shall be fortunate as a result of their deeds, while a group shall become wretched due to their deeds. And Allah is aware of those who shall traverse the path to prosperity out of their own will. Notice this. Out of their own will, and those who shall advance towards wretchedness out of their own will and choice. So see, what the other school of thought is saying is that this wretchedness and this prosperity, yes, it exists. Those two groups exist. There will be two groups on the Day of Judgment. But it is not out of compulsion. It is not out of jabr. It is out of ikhtiyar. It is out of choice. And yes, Allah knows who's going to make which choice, because Allah is all-wise and all-knowing. And here are some of the arguments, brothers and sisters, that we will present to defend our position on the notion, which is very clear. The first argument that we would like to present is, if we were inherently prosperous or wretched, all the teachings and training would be vain and futile. What is the purpose of all the tabligh then, if we are inherently prosperous? We believe that nobody is inherently prosperous or wretched. Rather, it's an acquired trait. Okay? Everybody, through their actions, acquire it. Okay? If that was not the case, then all of the teachings, all of the training, it would be futile. The coming of prophets. Look at 124,000 prophets have been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do what? If the human beings from the get-go, they were made that way that some are prosperous, the other are wretched, and nobody's going to be able to change themselves, then what's the point of sending 124,000 prophets? These prophets came for the guidance of human beings. The revelation of divine books. Why were all the divine books sent? The advices, the admonitions, the encouragements, the rebukes, the criticisms, reckoning, and finally, rewards and punishments. All of them, this entire setup, this entire system would be looked upon as either useless or tyrannical. Useless in a sense that, oh, we already decided Allah that he's going to be wretched, he's going to be prosperous. So why all this, those who act like this, they're going to... No, you already decided. The bad ones are not going to act in a good manner, and the good ones are not going to act in bad manner. So what's the point? So either it's that which makes it all useless, or it's tyrannical. That Allah, he determined for these people from the get-go. He determined for these people from the onset that you're never going to be able to do good thing. And vice versa. Then this becomes tyrannical. So we're going to punish someone where he didn't even make a choice to do that crime or do that bad thing. So this is another of our argument where we say that we do not believe in what the other school of thought has presented it to be a inherent quality. Imagine, now, to be honest, those who are proponents of predetermination of the notion and say that it is inherent, honestly, do they really believe in it? Why do we say this? Imagine that their rights are trampled upon. So from that camp, from that school of thought, if there's a person that his rights are trampled upon, like somebody stole his car, for instance, right? Is he going to say, oh, that person, since he was inherently bad, it's okay, man. What are we going to do? No. This is where he goes to the court of law. He would try to, get his car back. Then he would try his level best to get the punishment be executed for this person who stole his car. Brother, he was already bad. He was made bad. Why punishment then? He was forced to do this. Okay? So this is where we say, this school of thought, when it says it's ijbari, we don't agree with that. We feel it's ikhtiyari, which means they do it by choice. Okay? The concept of compulsion versus freedom of choice. Look at all the judicial system in the world. This is what it is designed for. So we have made it clear in this episode that we do not believe that the prosperity or wretchedness of mankind is inherent. Rather, we believe that it is something that is acquired through actions and through faith.
Can talk it down, turn the other way. Fear the truth, but it won't go away. Can you hear it calling?
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed today's episode of The Teacher. Don't forget to log on to our website at www.parstoday.com. parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care and bye. And there's nothing left around. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? When your knees are on the ground, you may feel but it's allowed. Are you listening? 'Cause I need forgiving. 'Cause I need forgiving. 'Cause I need forgiving.